his relative had an ear infection. مسكين كان عنده يعني مشكلة في ودنه he went to the doctor. So the doctor examined his ear and he told him, you have an ear infection. And he told him, these tablets, take a tablet every 8 hours and I want to see you after 3 days. Okay, مشكلة مجرته as they say in Somali, no problem. So however, the patient came first thing in the morning. Not after 3 days, he came first thing in the morning. So the doctor said, Khair, what happened? So he said, well, I took the first tablet, I was in pain. I took the second one, I couldn't sleep the whole night. I took the third one, I was in tears. So the doctor said, Khair, inshallah, let me re-examine your ear. And sure enough, he looked inside his ear and he found the three tablets stuffed inside. Mushkila wain, big problem. So the doctor gave him the right medicine, but he was using it the right way. So whenever I tell the story, people start laughing. But the problem is sometimes, subhanAllah, we do the same thing with the Quran. It's shifa, as Allah says in the Quran, but sometimes we use it the wrong way. But let me first make the distinction between shifa and ilaj, Shaykhna. Ilaj is medicine. Shifa is healing for sure. Which one did Allah use to describe the Quran? Ilaj or shifa? Shifa, because it's healing for sure. Ilaj, medicine, if you take it, maybe it will work for you, maybe it will not work for you. Maybe it's good. Yani, let's say someone has a fever. So he goes to the doctor, he gives him ilaj, medicine. So if you read the, usually the medicine comes with a flyer. You read the flyer. My nasiha to you, my advice, don't read the flyer that comes with the medicine because you'll be depressed. So it tells you, oh, these are the symptoms. If you take the medicine, it's going to treat this little problem that you have. But you have 5 pages of side effects, starting with drowsiness all the way to kidney failure, heart attacks, blood pressure. Like, what is this, man? I just had a headache. It's going to kill me. So Allah calls it shifa, healing for sure, not ilaj, medicine. And the Quran is ilaj, is shifa for personal problems, family problems, society problems, everything is there in the Quran. And it also solves the political problems that we have in society, social, economic, everything. So I remember one time, I used to visit a lot of Islamic schools in Canada, Toronto area, and the kids there in the school, they ask so many fantastic questions. Some questions are crazy, like, Imam, what color is the black stone? Will jinn be bid wala biyulid? Jinn, do they give birth or lay eggs? Habibi, who cares? I don't know. Yani ana sahir matha. I don't know, man. I don't know. Another question was, when we live on the moon or Mars, which way is the Qibla? This is why, brothers and sisters, I decided to retire as an imam. Khalas, I don't work as an imam anymore. No more talaq, no more counsel. Khalas, finished for me. But some of the questions are very good. Like one kid once asked me, there is a hadith from a Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Musnad Imam Ahmad, other collections, where he says that throughout history from Adam to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala sent a total of 124,000 prophets. These were the prophets, like Harun and other prophets. The ones who came with messages, the number is smaller, right? So not every prophet received a book from Allah. The number of the prophets who received messages, revelations, like Quran, Zabur, Tawrat, the number was much smaller. So he said, why are not all of them mentioned in the Quran? So I told him, if Allah were to mention the 124,000 in the Quran, we only have 25 of them mentioned by name, their stories, sometimes in great detail, sometimes briefly. But if the Quran were to mention the 124,000 prophets, it's going to turn into another Encyclopedia Britannica, right? But the Quran is a kitab lil-i'tibar. It's not a history book. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sampled those prophets. So when it comes to political problems, read the story of Fir'aun and Musa, alayhi salam. social problems, family issues, read the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Financial problems, read the story of Shu'aib alayhi salam with his people. So among themselves, these anbiya, they covered everything that we need in our lives. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his seerah, in his life, he covered everything that we need to know about this life, the next life, social, economic, political, everything is there. So the Quran provides solutions for everything. However, if you look at the conditions of the ummah, there are so many issues and problems. Why? Because people turn their backs on the Quran. Let me give you a couple of examples to illustrate. So I'm not going to pick on Indians and Pakistanis tonight. I'll be picking on Egyptians because I'm from Egypt, right? So if you go to my village in Egypt, basically, if you go to someone's house and they play the Quran, the first question people will ask, "Min mat?" Who died? So to a certain degree, people have associated the Quran with death. They only play it if someone dies. The book of the dead. But Allah says in the Quran, لِيُنذِرَ مَنْ كَانَ حَيًّا. This Quran is a reminder to those who are truly alive. Another way people use it back there, because car insurance is not farz in Egypt. Here you can't drive if you don't have a car insurance. صح? But back there, if you don't have car insurance, it's not a big deal. So what they do, they put a copy of the Quran in the front of the car or in the back for protection. Again, theft and accidents and so on and so forth. Some people, they just frame ayat of the Quran and they put them on their wall in the living room to make it look nice. Some others, and I'm guilty of this when I was young, في الجاهلية الأولى. So what we used to do, we didn't know istikhara back then. They would open the Quran randomly, a random page, and they take a look at the first ayah they see, and they act based on that ayah. So let's say, for example, someone wants to marry Zainab. So they open a random page, first ayah. Oh, I see this ayah here. If it's positive, if it talks about Jannah, Na'im, good things, khalas, Zainab is approved. But if you open a random page, Jahannam, barbecue, like suffering, no, Zainab is Ibtal, I'm going to go for Fatima, right? People do this, and I did it when I was young, subhanAllah. The weirdest thing, the weirdest use of the Quran that I've ever heard in my life, I was in Alberta, Canada. And one time, this guy came to me and he said, he got an advice from a friend of his, because his own grandfather had been sick for a number of years in and out of the hospital. He was suffering, basically. May Allah shower him with mercy. So his friend told him, "I know your grandpa has been suffering for a long time. If you want to end his suffering, just read Surah Zalzala on him. It's going to finish him off. As soon as you read it, janaza, you will be in Jannah, khalas." I said, I've never heard this, like, ajeeb. هَذَا كَذِبٌ مَحْدٌ لَهُ قَرْنَانٌ. I've never heard anything like this in my life. So, استجيبوا الله والرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم. The Quran gives life. It doesn't cause death. And so on and so forth. So this is how many people use the Quran, just for decoration. It looks nice, mashallah, this and that. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran for a reason. The basic level of your connection with the Quran before we talk about tadabbur is to read the Quran. Read the Quran. I know the majority of us, the majority of Muslims, 85%, they don't know or understand the Arabic language. May Allah reward you for your struggle. You will get double the rewards that I personally, as an Arab, will receive because of your effort. The next level is hifz, memorization. And we have this notion in some cultures that your relationship with the Quran will end as soon as you become Hafiz al-Quran. Where did this come from? Your relationship does not end with hifz, it begins with hifz. This is the basic level. The next level after hifz is to understand the Quran, understand the meaning of the Quran. And subhanAllah, most of the deviant groups in the history of Islam have capitalized on people's misunderstanding of the Quran to prove their own existence. Yani, for example, there was an Egyptian guy Who became very popular in the 1980s in the US, Tucson, Arizona. His name is Rashad Khalifa. Number 19 in the Quran and this, and he became very famous. And at some point he claimed to be a prophet. Nabi. Min Masr, you know, mashallah. Masr tala'at Fir'aun wa tala'at al-Anbiya. What is this, man? They asked him, what is your proof that you are a prophet? He says, my proof is in the Quran. Okay, fin al-dalil. He says, Allah says in the Quran, وَقَالَ رَبُّكَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَعَلُ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. My last name is Khalifa, so it's talking about me. What is this, man? So the ayah in Surah Baqarah, ayah 30, where Allah talks about putting a Khalifa on earth, an authority, so he said, this Khalifa, the word Khalifa refers to my last name. And some people actually fell for it. Tens of thousands of people followed him. So he abused their misunderstanding and they followed him, subhanAllah. So understanding the meaning of the Quran, this is a higher level. The next level is to live your life according to the meanings of the Quran. What is unique about the Sahaba to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is that when they listened to the Quran, they felt it was talking to them personally. Yani مثلا, if Allah says, do this, don't do this, they took it personally. He is talking to me. Abdullah ibn Rawaha, this impressive story, it says that one day he was sitting with his wife and all of a sudden he started to cry. So she saw him crying, she cried too, in support. So if this happens today, you're sitting with your wife, you start to cry. Allah al-musta'a, we need to take you to the doctor. Aapke saath koi mushkil hai. You know, there is a problem with you. So he cried, she cried too. And she asked him, why did you cry? He said, I remember this ayah from the Quran where Allah says, وَإِن مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. Each one of you will pass over Jahannam. So I started to think about this and I realized that me too, because Allah says everyone will pass over Jahannam, the believers will make it to the other side, the kuffar, the munafiqun will fall down. He said, I was not sure if I will make it to the other side or fall down. And this is why I got scared, I started to cry. He took it personally. But for many of us, subhanAllah, when they hear the ayat in the Quran, do this, don't do this, he's not talking to me, he's talking to my cousin, he's talking to my neighbor, not me, I'm a good guy. No, he's talking to you, this is for you. The next level is to make the Quran the judge in your life. So Allah is the judge. He rules for you. This is right, this is wrong, and so on and so forth. So let me focus a little bit on tadabbur al-Quran. Tadabbur al-Quran, which means deep reflection on the meanings of the Quran. Because those who listen to the Quran, sometimes they read it superficially or listen to it passingly and they're playing with their phone or it's playing in their car, they're not even listening. This is not tadabbur, you're just, you know, killing the time. But you need to read and think and reflect. Tadabbur in the Arabic language comes from dabara, which means bottom or back. Dubur as-salah, like in the back or the bottom of. Which technically means to understand the book, just like you know the back of your hand, and to get to the bottom of the Quran. This is the meaning. Back and bottom, the back of your hand and the bottom of something. You get to the bottom of something. And this does not happen like this. It takes time reading, reflecting, understanding the meaning. Let me give you some fruits of tadabbur from the Quran, because so many ulama have written about tadabbur and deep reflection, and your mind will be blown when you listen to these facts, because it will make you appreciate the Quran even more. And it will make you realize that this Quran cannot be from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It has to be from a higher authority. A few examples to illustrate. يعني مثلا, we know that the Quran is not arranged now chronologically in the order of revelation because Surah Iqra is not number one. It's close to the end. So Rasulullah arranged it based on instruction from Ilham Wahi from Jibreel alayhi salam, based on orders from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we read Surah Fatiha. At the end of the Surah, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. It talks about three types of people. This is at the end of Surah Fatiha. You go to the next Surah, Surah Baqarah, the beginning talks about three people. So three types of people here, three types of people at the beginning of Baqarah. المتقون الكافرون المنافقون. Surah Fatiha ends with dua. Surah Baqarah ends with dua. Surah Al Imran ends with dua. Okay, what is happening here? The ending of one surah leads to the beginning of the next surah. يعني مثلا Surah Isra, Surah 17. Last ayah, 111. وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا. Say Alhamdulillah, who does not have children. This is the last ayah of Surah 17. You go to the next surah, next chapter. What is the first words of Surah Kahf we read every Jummah? Alhamdulillah. Well, it says here, say Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا. He does not have children. The ayah after it says, وَيُنذِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. To give a warning to those who say that Allah have children. It's the same, connected. So this surah is connected with the next one. Surah 22. Surah Hajj. The last two ayat talk about salah. Irka'u wasjudu wa'budu rabbakum. The next surah, Surah Mu'minun, Surah 23, begins with قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. It talks about salah. Those who pray with khushu' will be successful. Connected. Not only that, the beginning of the same surah is connected with the ending of the same surah. Surah Mu'minun. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. At the beginning of the surah, the believers will be successful. At the end of the surah, إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Indeed, the kafirun will never succeed. It's connected with the beginning of the surah. Subhanallah, even when you go to Surah Tur, the last ayah of the surah, وَإِدِبَارَ النُّجُومِ. When the stars fade away, this is the last ayah of Surah Tur. Surah Najm is the next one. When the stars fade away, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى. The same meaning, the same wording, and so on and so forth. Now, another point of reflection, tadabbur on the Quran, something they call the ring structure. You probably heard the word before, which means if you were to fold a surah, a chapter of the Quran, right in the middle, or an ayah right in the middle, the first half will match the second half perfectly. So remember, Rasulullah received the Quran in an oral tradition. He didn't read or write. The way it was revealed, he memorized. Surah Yusuf, for example, has 14 different topics. Surah Yusuf, 14 different topics. If you fold the story right in the middle where the king had the dream, the first half will match the second half perfectly. For example, first few ayat of Surah Yusuf, the introduction, it talks about the Quran. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. It talks about the Quran. This is topic number one from the beginning. Topic number 14, the last one, talks about the Quran. مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى وَلَكِنْ Quran, first topic, Quran, last topic. Second topic from the beginning, Yusuf alayhi salam sees the dream. Second topic from the back, topic number 13, the dream came true. Number three from the beginning, the brothers make a conspiracy to kill Yusuf or to throw him away. Topic number three from the back, they apologize. We made a mistake. Topic number four from the beginning, the wife of Al-Aziz was busting all the moves, trying to seduce Yusuf alayhi salam. Four from the back, she said he is innocent, he didn't do nothing. Five from the beginning, the women were making all the plots against Yusuf alayhi salam. Five from the back, they said he's innocent, he's a good man. He goes to jail, he's out of jail, the king had a dream, the king's dream is interpreted. SubhanAllah, the first half matches the second half perfectly. You will do this exercise when you go home tonight. See ayah kursi from Surah Baqarah and the ayah that says شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. Each of them has about seven sentences. The first one matches the last one. The second sentence matches the second last. The third from the last, and so on and so forth. So Rasulullah ﷺ could have never done something like this. This is amazing. This has to be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another level of tadabbur, the numbers in the Quran. I'm not going to talk about how many times the shayateen and the malaika are mentioned, the same number of times. Jannah, Jahannam, and so on and so forth. Something else. We know the story, the four stories in Surah Kahf. We read every Jummah. So the first story, the youth in the cave. So the first story, the youth in the cave, Allah begins the story, لِنَعْلَمَ أَيُّ الْحِزْبَيْنِ أَحْصَى لِمَا لَبِثُوا أَمَدًا, how long they stayed in the cave, and so on and so forth. And at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the number of years they stayed in the cave. وَلَبِثُوا فِي كَهْفِهِمْ 300 سِنِينَ وَازْدَادُوا تِسْعًا. So at the beginning of the story of the youth in the cave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala poses the question, we did this to show how many of them will know the exact estimation of how long they stayed. لَبِثُوا لِنَعْلَمَ أَيُّ الْحِزْبَيْنِ أَحْصَى لِمَا لَبِثُوا. So the word لَبِثُوا is used at the beginning of the story of the youth in the cave. It means they stayed, they remained. At the end of the story, when Allah gave the number of years they stayed, He said, وَلَبِثُوا فِي كَفِمْ, they stayed. So you see, لَبِثُوا stayed at the beginning of the story, لَبِثُوا stayed at the end of the story. If you were to count the Arabic words between لَبِثُوا stayed at the beginning, لَبِثُوا stayed at the end, if you were to count the Arabic words, by words I mean verbs, nouns, and particles, how many do you think they are? 309 words. 309 words. Is this a coincidence? I don't think so. Another example. The story of Nuh alayhi salam is mentioned in the Quran in many places. Surah Shu'ara and so many different places. Wal-A'raf, Wahud, different places in the Quran Surah, the story of Nuh alayhi salam is mentioned. However, Surah Nuh in Juz Tabarak is the only surah that gives you his da'wah techniques, what he did when he was giving da'wah to his people. So many da'watuhum jiharan, so many a'lantu lahum wa asrartu lahum isra'an, faqultu astaghfiru rabbakum, he created this and he invited them publicly, secretly, individually, collectively, his da'wah techniques. How many years did he stay in da'wah? 150 years, jazakallah khair. If you were to count the number of letters, Arabic letters in Surah Nuh, the only surah that focuses on his da'wah techniques, how many Arabic letters in that surah from the beginning to the end? 950 Arabic letters from the beginning to the end. Where did this come from? So Rasulullah ﷺ could never do anything like this. It was inspired to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another level, which came as a shock to me, because I found this out recently, a few years back. There was a professor from Egypt, Abdul Rauf Abu Sa'da, rahimahullah, back in 1992, he came up with this theory, because he studied Arabic, he studied Hebrew, Aramaic, ancient Egyptian. So the guy was very knowledgeable, mashallah. So his theory was, he released a book in Arabic and in English about al-asma al-ghair arabiya fil Quran, the non-Arabic names in the Quran. Yani mathalan ism Ibrahim, originally it didn't come from Arabic, Abraham, it came from Hebrew or Syrianic or Aramaic. It's not originally an Arabic name. Ismail is not originally an Arabic name, it's a Hebrew name. A name like Musa. Musa is an ancient Egyptian name. Fir'aun, an ancient Egyptian name. And so on and so forth. He said, every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a non-Arabic name in the Quran, there are 61 of them in total. 61 non-Arabic names in the Quran. When Allah mentions those non-Arabic names in the Quran, He gives you the meaning in the same ayah from those original languages, even if the language was dead at the time of revelation. Let me give you a few examples. When the wife of Fir'aun, when they found Musa alayhi salam in the basket, he didn't come with a name tag that said Musa. That was not his name. He didn't come with a name, you know, no name. What did they call him? They called him Musa. It's an ancient Egyptian word, which meant little boy. No name, little boy, just a little boy or kid, Musa, in ancient Egyptian. The ancient Egyptian language was dead 2,000 years before Rasulullah was even born and before the Quran was revealed. So Musa, when you read in the Quran, when Musa, Fir'aun talks to Musa alayhi salam, he says, قال أولم نربك فينا وليدا. Didn't we raise you Musa among us as a little boy? Musa, little boy. So the word is used in there. Another example. In Surah Hud, وامرأته قائمة فضحكت فبشرناها بإسحاق ومن وراء إسحاق يعقوب. So we see two names. Ishaq and Yaqub are mentioned in the same ayah, and both meanings, both names are defined in the same ayah. Both names come from Hebrew. So the word Ishaq, his wife Sarah, the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, was standing there. She smiled. So we gave her the good news of the birth of a son by the name of Ishaq. What does Ishaq have to do with her smiling? Because Ishaq in Hebrew means the smiling one. So Ishaq, like Dahaq in the Arabic language, the smiling one. Not only that, the meaning of Ya'qub is also mentioned in the ayah. وَمِنْ وَرَاءِ إِسْحَاقَ يَعْقُوبِ. Ya'qub means the ones that comes after. So the ayah says, and after Ishaq, there will come Ya'qub. So both names are defined. Another example from ancient Egyptian. The word Fir'aun, Pharaoh, is a title. In ancient Egyptian, Fir'aun means the big tower, the tall tower, or the big house. This is the meaning of Fir'aun, tall house, big tower. وَقَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ يَا هَامَانُ ابْنِ لِي صَرْحًا. So Fir'aun said to Haman, his chief architect, build me a big tower. Fir'aun, big tower. The word is defined in the ayah. What does Zakariya mean? Zakariya means the one who remembers Allah in Hebrew. ذكر رحمة ربك عبده زكريا. ذكر زكريا. What does Ismail mean in Hebrew? Ismail means Allah answers the dua. This is the meaning of the word Ismail. إيل in عربي حتى معناها إيل اللي هو الإله. Ismail means Allah answers the dua, listens and answers the dua. الحمد لله الذي وهب لي على الكبر إسماعيل وإسحاق إن ربي لسميع الدعاء. الحمد لله who blessed me with إسماعيل and إسحاق. Indeed Allah hears and responds to all دعاء. What is the meaning of Maryam? Maryam in Hebrew also means the one who submits and humbles herself in worship to Allah. يا مريم قنوتي لربك واسجدي واركعي مع الراكعين. The same meaning is given in the ayah. And this is true for each one of the 61 names that are mentioned in the Quran. Now some of you will say, well, I don't speak the Arabic language. Like the majority of Muslims, 85% of Muslims, they don't speak or understand the Quran in Arabic. How can I do tadabbur? Well, as I said at the beginning, Allah will give you the reward for doing your effort. You get the reward for doing your best. Yani, let's say you have a back problem. You cannot stand up in salah. You sit down. This is the best you can do. You will get the full reward, just like the person who's staying next to you, standing next to you in salah, because this is your best. And so on and so forth, Allah will give you the reward for doing your effort, for doing your best. So if you are not able to read or understand the Quran in the Arabic language, try to study Arabic if you can. Because the Quran in Arabic is like nothing else. English is very miskeen. Like when I was translating the Quran, Brother Hisham here, stand up. Stand up. Brother Hisham, he used to live in Canada with me, and he's one of the three chief editors of the Clear Quran. Turn around, let them say your beautiful face. Jazakallah khair. Now he lives here locally, alhamdulillah. So we used to think a lot about the ayat, the meanings of the Quran in the Arabic. So powerful, so beautiful. And the English is so miskeen, so limited. What is this man? So is there a perfect translation of the Quran? No. There is no such thing as a perfect translation of the Quran. The only perfect thing is the Arabic. English is miskeen, limited. French, Urdu, Turkish, they are very limited. Just one or two examples to illustrate. The Arabic language, the Arabic language, has 25 times the number of words in the English language. 25 times the number of words in the English language. There are words in the Quran in Arabic you cannot translate because they have no equivalence. Dhihar and ila, like these words we don't have even in the English language. So you can read the tafsir in your language, ريد تدبر علماء like الزمخشري الكشاف. There is a website called Quran Reflect. They show you tadabbur. You can read the tadabbur by imams and scholars and so on and so forth. So I have dedicated my life in the last 11, 12 years to the service of the Quran. As I said, eventually I retired as an imam so I can focus entirely on the clear Quran. The first translation of the Quran that I did was back in 2002 to 2005 from the Haramain in Mecca and Medina. We're trying to make the Quran easy and accessible in an international language like English. So we would sit in the studios from the Haram in Mecca, Medina, behind Shuraym and Sudayth and Hudhayfi and translate the Quran, the subtitles. You still see those lines, the subtitles, when they broadcast the Taraweeh in Ramadan. So this was the second one. I was in Toronto, 2013. I was visiting as an imam and I had this MashaAllah, nice robe from Pakistan with a turban like a prince, MashaAllah, from Hollywood or Bollywood. And I was going to give Jummah khutbah. So the cab driver that day was not Muslim. And he said something out of the blue. I was sitting in the back and he said, you know, Muslims are good people, but Islam is not good. I said, dude, why? Why are you saying this? He said, because Islam calls me an animal. The Quran calls me an animal. I said, I'm Hafidh al-Quran, it doesn't say this anywhere. And he cited 855, Surah Anfal, إِنَّ شَرَّ الدَّوَابِّ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ كَفْرُوا. And I explained to him that dabba does not only mean this, but it means human beings, anything that walks on earth, as Allah says in Surah Nur, Ayah 45, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَ كُلَّ دَابَّةٍ مِّمَّا فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمْشِي عَلَى بَطْنِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ يَمْشِي عَلَى رِجْلَيْهِ. It's a very general term. He says, no, I'm an animal according to the Quran. You're not an animal. So most of the translations say either animal or beast. So this is when I decided to do the clear Quran, just to يعني, stick to the true meaning of the ayah, because other translations are either confusing or they are used by missionaries to attack Islam because there are certain mistakes. Are there any good translations out there other than the clear Quran? Of course. The clear Quran does not have a monopoly on the truth. So Muhammad Abdul Halim from Oxford is an excellent translation. Ahmad Zaki Hamad from Al-Azhar, it's an excellent translation. But this one is more user-friendly, the titles, the background stories, and so on and so forth. But there are good translations out there. But some others, subhanAllah, they were not qualified to translate in the first place. The sad reality, subhanAllah, khalas, we're almost done, like 10 more minutes? Yes. The sad reality, Muslims are the only faith community on the planet who will accept a translation of their holy book by someone who is not qualified and someone who is not even from the faith. If you apply this to Jews and Christians or anyone else, like let's say you go to a synagogue or a church and tell them, hey, my name is Mustafa or Mufasa or anything. I'm not from your faith. And I didn't study your book. I know nothing about translation, but I have produced the best translation of the Bible. They will kick me out. But Muslims do it differently. Someone like an accountant. No translation training, no training in Islamic studies, ulum al-Quran, nasikh, mansukh, nothing. Someone who's not even from the faith, like N.J. Dawood. This guy hated Rasulullah so much and he translated the Quran and it's celebrated as one of the best translations, even though it's full of mistakes and problems. Another beautiful saying from our brothers and sisters in India, Pakistan. How many of you speak Urdu? Raise your hand. MashaAllah, we have a big number here. We say in Urdu, Neem Hakim Khatra Jaan, Neem Mulla Khatra Iman. Half a doctor is dangerous to your life, and half a scholar is dangerous to your faith, your iman. So just like when you get sick, you go to the best doctor. If you want to learn about the faith, you go to the best scholar. Not just the guy of the streets. You have to get someone who's reliable, someone who's qualified. So this is why we did the clear Quran. We tried to make it clear and easy and accessible. We worked a lot on the flow of the translation. So for example, الشمس والقمر بحسبان والنجم والشجر يسجدان والسماء رفعها وضع الميزان سورة الرحمن. We try to reflect the rhythm of the ayat in the Arabic, even though it's less than 1% of the beauty of the Arabic. So we said in the English, The sun and the moon travel with precision. The stars and the trees bow down in submission. As for the sky, he raised it high and set the balance of justice. So you'll see a lot of rhymes. And recently, subhanAllah, in Ramadan, we released the Clear Quran audiobook app. So download the app tonight. It's a little commercial here, but that's okay. The Clear Quran audiobook app. So we started back in 2018 when I started working on the project. I reached out to Morgan Freeman to narrate the translation. He agreed. We sent him a copy. Then someone took him to court for a different issue. We're not going to talk about the details. So we dropped him and we got an old Muslim team. Brother Mark Strong is a popular Muslim in Toronto, a revert to Islam. Very soothing, beautiful voice. Then we got Sheikh Yasir Qadi, Omar Sulaiman, Yasmin Mujahid, different imams to narrate the translation. We have like 15 different voices. It's not just like one regular, monotone, boring guy narrating the translation. No, we have the main narrator. But if there is a voice in the translation, like Pharaoh or Iblis or someone, we have a character that voiced this section. So we reserve the evil character. We reserve the evil character like Iblis and Fir'aun for a British guy. I don't know why we did that, but it was very befitting. So, but we balanced this out when we got a British sister to do the good female characters in the Quran. So we're not racist or anything. So it balances out. So it's good, alhamdulillah, and it's dramatized. So if the ayah talk about the Battle of Badr, you will hear the horses and the swords in the background. It's very soothing and it's very engaging. The Clear Quran audiobook app. We did the Clear Quran for kids, and we had a team of over 70 students between the ages of 7 and 13, 14 to review the translation with me. So it's chokolai, so easy for them to understand. We used stories, illustrations. We answered their difficult questions about the Quran. Then we did the Clear Quran dictionary. As I said, most Muslims don't speak the Arabic language. I remember back in 2016, I was leading Taraweeh at Anatolia Masjid in Toronto, a Turkish masjid. So it was the 12th night of Ramadan. So after we finished Taraweeh, Surah Yusuf, we had an Egyptian Qari, very emotional, very beautiful voice, mashallah. So after we finished Salatul Taraweeh on that day, Surah Yusuf, this Pakistani brother came after namaz and he was extremely angry. He was yelling at me after namaz. Imam sahab, how can I come? He was, what's wrong with you, Imam? I said, what did I do, man? So initially when he started yelling at me, I said, maybe the biryani we had for iftar was so spicy like Jahannam, this is why he's angry. Then it turned out, he told me that I stood in Salah for over an hour that night and he couldn't understand anything because Arabic was not his native tongue. And what bothered him the most was the Arab people in the audience in Surah Yusuf, very emotional, they started to cry. He didn't know why, and this is why he was angry. So I said, khair inshallah, kui maslani. We'll do something about it inshallah. So over the next 6-7 years, I worked on the Clear Quran dictionary. The Quran has 2,000 root words. If you know them, you're good to go. 2,000 root words repeated about 100,000 times. And at the end of the dictionary, the Clear Quran dictionary, there are 9 pages. I made something like a poem that rhymes. Those 9 pages have the 2,000 words of the Quran. If you study them, khalas, you're good to go. The Quran is easy, but we make it difficult. Finally, inshallah, in my last 5 minutes, every year in Ramadan, and now since I joined Furqan Project, I go to different masajid to promote the Clear Quran. So last year in Ramadan, I was touring the US and Canada. I flew from Turkey. I came to Canada, east to west. In the US, north to south. So every day I was visiting a different city last year. I probably did something around 50,000 miles in Ramadan last year. I was flying every single day in Ramadan. So one day I'm in Washington, D.C. Tomorrow I'm in Alabama. The next day I'm in North Carolina. The next day I'm in Tennessee. I was all over the place. By the end of the month, I was totally exhausted. 25th of Ramadan, I was at the Diyanet Center of America in Maryland. And that night, I had the best dream of my life. So subhanAllah, I prayed Salatul Fajr. I just wanted to get some sleep before I go to the airport for the next flight. As soon as I closed my eyes, I felt my body was being seized. And I started to have this dream. So in the dream, they said, Chalo, come. You are being escorted to present a gift copy of the clear Quran as a hadiyah gift to Hazrat Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So I walked with them. Long story short, I stood in front of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The beautiful face, the lovely smile, very bright, very broad shoulders, and the full beard, the turban, not very tall, not very short, the exact same way he's described in Hadith Umm Ma'bad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Every time I mention the story, I get goosebumps. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us together with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. So now, what do we do? And after this dream, I said, this is an ishara, a sign from Allah that you have been working on the Quran. You translated the Quran like 5 times so far. Now is the time to work on the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So inshallah, in about a week, we'll be releasing the clear seerah for kids. This was motivated by the dream that I had in Ramadan last year. 365 days with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, 52 weekly themes. And inshallah, some Islamic schools, including the one here in this masjid, Madrasatul Iman and others, will be adopting this book as part of their curriculum, because we use stories, illustrations, to teach the seerah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in an engaging way. So tonight, inshallah, after Salatul Isha, as you exit the masjid, we have a table outside for the clear Quran. What we want from you is if you can at least do a box, sponsor a box which has 52 copies, it will cost you $104, which will help us put the Quran in the hands of every non-Muslim in this country. So over the last 4 years, alhamdulillah, we have distributed more than 5 million copies of these to non-Muslims in the US and Canada, and we have seen thousands of shahadas. So we need your support. You guys, when someone accepts Islam, we have brother Andrew, I met brother Taylor, I met sister Allison after Salatul Jum'ah. So you have so many reverts in this community, inshallah, and some of them came to Islam after reading this book. Alhamdulillah. So this is a blessing from Allah. Hidayah is not from me. Guidance is from Allah. But we bring the Quran to their attention. As I said in the khutbah today, a lot of people, when they accept Islam, they have the same complaint. They say, guys, where have you been? Like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when my parents, grandparents were desperately looking for the truth. No one told them about Islam. Nobody gave them a Quran, and they died kafir because of you. So we have this treasure, the Quran, and we're hiding it. We don't want to share it. Wallahi, our neighbors have a right on us. They will complain to Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah because of us. They live next to you 15, 20, 30 years. They know absolutely nothing about Quran, absolutely nothing about Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, absolutely nothing about Islam. They will figure it out on their own. No. They will become Muslim because I'm a nice guy. I give them biryani. I give them mansaf, shawarma, chicken sukkar, beef sukkar. Do you think they will accept Islam because you're a nice guy? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a million times nicer and better than you, but still, he spoke to people about Islam, even when they were on their deathbed, they were dying. He still talked to them about Islam because they cannot figure things on their own. So alhamdulillah, especially after the situation started in Gaza last year, nasallahu an yahfazhum wa yansurhum ala aduwihim wa ala man khadhalahum ya rabbal alameen. A lot of people are interested in Islam. And many people have come to Islam because of our Palestinian brothers and sisters. You're impressed by them. They read about Islam, they read the Quran, and they become Muslim. And you will find so many stories on TikTok. Sean King and his wife accepted Islam after reading this. There are so many sisters and brothers, they read the Quran, alhamdulillah, clear Quran, they become Muslim. So inshallah, sponsored boxes. If you do 10 boxes tonight, you're gonna get this one as a gift. A box has 52 copies, $104. If you do 20 boxes or more, you're gonna get this one. SubhanAllah, so beautiful with the gold, so heavy, Arabic, English. You will need a truck to take it home. So you get this one as a gift, inshallah. You can do it once, or you can do it monthly on behalf of your family, your parents, grandparents, and you will get a tax receipt, inshallah. If someone accepts Islam through this, I will be sharing the reward with you. Brother Hisham, Furqan Foundation, the masjid here, you will be sharing the reward with us. But do your part. The last thing that I will say, inshallah, Jazakallah khair, Imam Muammar, again, for your patience with me, opening your hearts and doors for me always, is when I stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah, I will say, Ya Allah, wallahi, I have done my level best. I sacrificed my Imam job for this. Every day, in the last 11, 12 years, every day I put 12 to 15 hours into this project. You look, oh, it's very cute, little book. No, 12 to 15 hours every day. That means more than 50,000 hours in the last 11, 12 years alone. So we can have something easy, acceptable, accessible, presentable to give. Like, subhanAllah, some other translation, verily. As soon as they see verily, they put it down. What is verily, man? Thou. This is the age of TikTok and Twitter, man. People don't have time to look up words in the dictionary to understand the book. And I was talking to one of the brothers today. He said he was reading different translations, and he was able only to understand the Quran after reading this because it's easy, accessible. He was able to understand the message, and he took shahada, alhamdulillah. So please support. Make sure to sponsor one box, 5, 10, 50, 100, and you will share the reward. You will get a tax receipt. May Allah reward you and reward your families. And we have different methods of payment. You can talk to Brother Muhammad Imran and Brother Hisham and the brothers outside. I think we have a couple of minutes if someone has a question, inshallah, before Salatul Isha. Any questions? No? Khalas, we're good. Alhamdulillah. That's good. Jazakallah khair. Barakallah feekum. May Allah bless you and your families. May Allah continue to bless this community. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakallah khair. For those who want to read more about the projects, go to theclearquran.org. Theclearquran.org. Assalamu alaikum. Barakallah feek, Shaykhna. Assalamu alaikum.